cultures is yes. Even people that did not have the scriptures believed innately, given to them by God, that they did live beyond this life, that there was a life that was beyond. Just to look at that culturally, the American Indians, many times their warriors would be buried with bows or spears, things that pertain to their hunting and warfare. You go to Egypt, you look at the pyramids, and many of those were erected in memory of certain pharaohs, and you go into them and you see what was there, and they had things from the pharaohs and their lives that they used that was buried with them. Again, it was speaking of the fact that people believed that when we die, we do live again. When we come to the scripture, we of course get that from an authoritative source. We get the answers to that from the Lord himself and with the inspired pen of people who knew the Lord and knew what he had told them. And it all fits together. It all works together into one complete picture of what God has to say about the resurrection body and resurrection itself and life beyond the grave. And I think it's appropriate that we consider those things this morning from Job's perspective. So again, the title of the message is, If a Man Die, Shall He Live Again? We're going to look at Job's surety. We're going to consider Job's Savior, and then we're going to consider Job's sight, vision, Job's sight. So Job's surety, Job's Savior, and Job's sight. Job's surety, that's found in verse 25, where he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. What a proclamation. The fact that you're here this morning is physical evidence that you believe that the Lord has risen, that we know that our Redeemer lives. We are not here celebrating a dead God. We are celebrating the Lord Jesus and his victory over the tomb. And we believe that he is alive and that he is living it today. Job had that surety. He had that assurance. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. There were others that gave testimony to that in one way or another. Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thomas said, My Lord and my God, when he saw his risen Lord. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What day was Paul speaking of? Well, he was speaking of the day when he would be raised from the dead, when he would be in the presence of the Lord as a completed, redeemed individual. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he will keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am persuaded that he lives. Are you persuaded that he lives today? Again, I'm sure you are. You're giving testimony to that by your presence here today. I like that. I know, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Years ago, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., he would have been the man that started Bob Jones University. That would go back to the 1920s, so Bob Jones University has to be coming up pretty soon on their 100th anniversary as a school of higher education. And think about this. Now, Bob Jones was an evangelist, but he was interested in the training of young people in Christian education. So he was interested in things related to academics. But thinking about that idea, he said, I like to hear a man that knows what he believes. He said, I would rather have a man say, I seen, that saw something, than have a man say, I have seen, and he ain't seen nothing. That's a direct quote of Bob Jones Sr. He said, you may not get it correct English-wise, but the important thing is, what do you know? What do you believe? Well, preachers of the gospel believe the word of God. And we have the authority as we stand before a group of people to say, thus saith the Lord, because of the scriptures and because of the truth of the scriptures. And we know what we believe, and we know whom we believe. Contrast that, if you would, to Charles Darwin, who wrote the books The Origin of Species and The Descent of Man. And I have to confess to you, I have not waded through those two volumes. I've only read about them. I've not read them. But those who have studied those two works say that over 800 times in those two volumes that set forth his teaching about evolution, over 800 times you'll find a phrase, "we may suppose, we may suppose, we may suppose." The fact of the matter is that he supposed a lot of things, 800 of them at least, and they just aren't true. He was convinced that there was a missing link and that it was going to be discovered, and that the fossil record would show that there was various missing links between different species of animals. There's a DVD set that's new to the library that I had the opportunity to watch, and if you're interested in looking at it, Brenda Kiefer can help you with that. But a doctor and his wife spent thousands and thousands of dollars traveling all over the world interviewing people who worked at museums and places that are putting forth the evolutionary scheme of life, and tried to find a missing link and discovered there is no such thing. There is no fossil record of transition from one species of animal to another. Darwin said, we may suppose. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." Now you can take the suppositions of men, or you can take the word of God. We'll take the word of God. "I know that my Redeemer lives." That was Job's surety. He was certain, he was sure that his Redeemer lived. Secondly, he was not only sure of that, but he understood that he would see him when he stood, when his Redeemer stood in the latter days upon the earth. That was Job's Savior. That is Job's Savior, the Redeemer, the one who has paid the purchase price for our redemption, the one who has paid the price for our salvation. "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Job's Savior. What a prophetic scripture. And as I prepared the message for this morning, and I was working through this scripture, I thought he was really giving testimony to the resurrection. Now think about this. He said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that in the latter day he will stand upon the earth." Well, Job never saw Christ in his earthly ministry. Job was not one of those individuals that appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Old Testament figures that were there were Moses and Elijah, and Peter, James, and John along with Christ. Job did not see Christ during his earthly ministry on the earth. So what Job was giving testimony to was when Christ would come back to the earth, and Job knew that he would be a part of that and that he would see Christ at that time. Now I'm convinced that that's true and that that's the right interpretation of this verse, these verses that we're looking at this morning. And just to show you that from the scripture, I think it'll be a blessing to you. Would you turn in your Bibles back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 7? Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. And this is the Mount of Olives as Christ is ready to ascend back into heaven the 40th day following his resurrection. "And he said unto them," and this is Christ speaking, "it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey." And what those angels were telling the believers was that Christ is going to return to the Mount of Olives. That is not in the rapture. That is in the second coming. That is when Christ will stand upon the earth. He will not stand upon the earth in the rapture. We will go to meet him. But he will stand upon the earth when he comes victoriously with his bride from heaven. Let's look at that in a passage of scripture also. Zechariah 14, verses 3 and 4. Zechariah 14, verses 3 and 4. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." I'll pause just a moment there. Again, that is not the rapture. Christ is not fighting anyone in the rapture. He is calling the bride to himself. But when he comes back after the tribulation, he will fight for the nation of Israel. Okay, let me read it again. "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." And that is when Job will see his Redeemer, when he stands on the earth in the latter days. That's what Job is prophesying. That's what he is talking about when he says he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And Job had faith to believe that he would see him, and Job had faith to believe that his Redeemer would rise from the dead. And Job describes in rather intense detail what is going to happen. And that really brings me to the third point of the message, which is Job's sight. I'm back now in Job chapter 19. We've looked at verse 25. We're looking now at verse 26. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, when I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." But Job is saying, although the worms eat my body, although my flesh will rot in the ground and eventually return to dust, and I have it jotted down here, the words that he uses, he talks about skin, body, flesh, reins, and eyes. And reins are a reference to the vital organs of the body. Every part of me, Job says, is going to return to the dust. The worms will eat my physical body, but with my eyes, I will see my Redeemer when he stands at the last days upon the earth. Job's surety, Job's savior, Job's sight. He saw into the future, and what is yet future, even from our perspective, he saw that Christ would stand on the earth, and he had the faith to believe in my physical body. That's what it's talking about. In my physical body. There are many people, and down through the centuries, there have been many who have said, yes, man lives on, but he will not have a physical body. He will be in some spiritual aspect that we don't know anything about, but he will not have a physical body. That is not what the scripture teaches. Old Testament and New Testament, the Bible says that we will have a physical body. It'll be a glorified body. It won't be subject to the same things that these physical bodies are. They won't age. They won't grow old. They won't deteriorate. But it will be, Christ said in his resurrection body, he said to Thomas, "Thomas, come here. You can trace the print of the nail in my hand. Thomas, you can," Christ had a resurrection body of bone and flesh. And he said, "Thomas, you can touch me. You can touch me. I have a physical body." Yes, it passed through doors, but it was a physical body. And that's what Job saw. Job saw that his Redeemer would stand in the latter day upon the earth and he would see him. But he also knew that he, like his Redeemer, would have a physical body. He was saying here in this passage of scripture that we're looking at this morning in Job 19, God will raise me up and he will put me back together. I believe that. Over the years, I've been asked different times by various people, well, what about somebody that's lost at sea? What about somebody that's eaten by a wild animal? What about this? What about that? If you're in the tomb long enough, your physical body is going to deteriorate. You understand what I'm saying? But the Lord knows who we are. And the Lord can reconstruct it and put it all back together. Glory be to his name. We shall rise. We shall have a new body. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that in the latter day he shall stand upon the earth. And though after my flesh worms eat my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God with my eyes and not another. That's something to sing about. That's something to talk about. That's something to rejoice in. If a man die, shall he live again? The answer is yes. And in a physical body, like unto his glorified resurrection body. Glory be to his name. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this resurrection day, and we realize that every Lord's Day is a testimony to the resurrection. But we thank you for this special day when we set aside and we focus on our thinking. In our thinking of the resurrection of Christ, how wonderful it is to know a Savior who is alive, who is reigning, who will return to this earth and establish his kingdom. Father, how glorious it is for every believer, everyone who has put their faith and trust in Christ, to have that blessed hope and that wonderful assurance that one day we shall see him as he is and we shall be like him. Father, these are the things that our faith is built upon. These are the things that we give testimony to this morning, and hopefully every day that we live, that we bear testimony to the fact that we serve a risen Savior, and we know that he is coming again, and we know that through faith in him that we have been forgiven and we belong to him. And Lord, we will share in all the glorious and wonderful things that he has planned and prepared for those of us who love him. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we go throughout this day, that we might continually be encouraged by the fact that Jesus is alive, that he is coming back, and one day we will be like him and we will be with him forever and ever. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Denny will come now and lead us in the singing of our closing hymn.